We have this obsession with speed, right? We want our AI to be instant.
Absolutely.
You type a question and boom, the answer is there in milliseconds. That's the fast lane.
Right. But now we're asking these same models to handle, well, the serious stuff.
Exactly. Wire transfers, medical dosing.
Deleting files, even. And that's where instant becomes kind of terrifying.
And that's really the core tension of today's deep dive, isn't it? We're looking at AI dual latency architecture.
It's the engineering answer to a huge question. How do you stop an AI from accidentally draining a bank account without making the whole system feel sluggish and, you know, broken?
It seems to start with identifying one specific moment. They call it the commit intent.
Yeah, that's the split second. The AI stops just chatting and decides to actually do something.
To change something in the real world.
Exactly. It's trying to mutate state change into database, move money. The stakes change completely. If an AI hallucinates a fact in a chat, that's just annoying.
But if it hallucinates a wire transfer amount,
it's a lawsuit.
So to manage this, the source material describes this dual latency system. You've got the fast lane for all the talking, which has to be under, what, 2 milliseconds?
Yeah, to feel snappy. But the moment a commit intent shows up,
everything hits a brick wall.
Right. They call this the sacred zero, which refers to state zero. It's a hard, deterministic block. That dangerous request gets routed out of the fast lane and into the slow lane.
And slow is relative here. We're not talking minutes.
No, not at all. Maybe 500 milliseconds. But that's enough time for some really heavy-duty validation.
Okay, but here's the part I found kind of ironic. To catch that intent, they don't use a smarter AI. They use something they call a logic floor.
Yes, and this is absolutely crucial. You cannot use probability to police probability.
You can't ask an AI, are you 99% sure this is safe?
Because that 1% will eventually get you. So the logic floor uses dumb, rigid code. Think strict templates, pattern matchers. If the AI's request doesn't fit a perfect predefined shape, it gets kicked out instantly.
So paradoxically, the only way to trust the AI is to surround it with a bunch of old school code that isn't AI.
That's a great way to put it. It's like putting a super genius in a padded room. They do use one advanced technique, though, called thinking intervention.
In TechGuard, right. That's to stop hackers from tricking the AI with hidden commands.
Exactly. An indirect prompt injection.
So how does that actually work? How does it stop the attack?
It forces the AI to use a private scratch pad. Before the model can execute a command, it has to write out its internal reasoning in a hidden space.
So it has to show its work before it gets credit.
Precisely. It separates its own logic from the messy user data, which makes it way harder for a hacker's hidden command to just slip through.
But even with all of that, things can still go wrong. The report talks about race conditions.
Yeah, this is the nightmare scenario. The AI trying to act faster than the safety system can catch it. To prevent that, the system enters what's called pessimistic mode.
Using a two-phase commit.
Which basically means it locks the door before it checks your ID. It freezes the entire process. And if the safety check times out or gets overwhelmed, say, by a cyber attack, it follows a fail-closed rule.
It's like a circuit breaker. If there's a surge, the lights just go out.
The lights just go out. It doesn't try to keep working and burn the house down. Better to crash the interaction than execute a lethal command.
Okay, so we've stopped the disaster. But in finance or healthcare, that's not enough. You have to prove you stopped it. You need that audit trail.
And that's a massive mathematical headache. You want to use a blockchain for an immutable record, but they take 12 seconds or more to settle. We only have 500 milliseconds.
So how do they prove it without slowing everything down to a crawl?
They use a specialized ID system, UUID V7, which actually puts a timestamp right into the ID code itself.
Hmm.
Then they use a database structure that allows for local sealing.
Local sealing. So it's like getting a document notarized instantly, right in your own office.
Exactly. A cryptographic fingerprint of the action is created in memory instantly. That guarantees the order of events. Then later, they batch all those proofs and upload them to the cloud.
So the global proof is slow, but the local lock is instant.
It's the only way the math works.
So looking at the big picture here, the verdict seems to be a conditional go. We can have these agents doing real work, but that safety net has to be incredibly tight.
It does. And it really highlights that we aren't just building chatbots anymore. We're building systems with real consequences.
It really makes you question the whole autonomous part of autonomous agents. If we have to build systems that rely on pessimistic locking, basically, assuming the worst to be safe, does that mean we shouldn't really trust them with optimistic tasks at all?
That is the billion-dollar question, isn't it?